We are going to read Psalm 121. Psalm 121, this will be the main passage that we will look at in our text. We will look at a few others, but Psalm 121, it says, I will lift my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that as we come together, Lord, to hear from your word, that you speak to us. Father, we realize that your word that we have read is inspired by the Holy Spirit, and that same Holy Spirit can illuminate our hearts and minds to your truth today. So we ask that you would speak to us, Father, for we have read your word. Help us to heed it, Lord. Help us to hear it, receive it, believe it, and obey it. And Father, would you lift us up before your throne today, and may we realize how awesome of a God you truly are. May we give you the praise and glory for all things. Father, as I preach, I understand the judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth and a strict judgment, and I accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, and his name that I preach. Amen. As we look into this text this morning, and we're going to look at Psalm 121, but we're going to go to Mark chapter 4, verse 30 first, because I want to look at two aspects of the saving shade. Two aspects of the saving shade. The first one I want to look at is the saving shade of proclamation. The saving shade of proclamation. Now, when Jesus was talking about, he was talking about the kingdom of God, he used several different parables, and this is one that he used, and this is Jesus speaking. It says, and he said, how shall we picture the kingdom of God? Or by what parable shall we present it? He says that it is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the soil, though it is smaller than all the seeds that are upon the soil, yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and forms large branches so that the birds of the air can nest under its shade. Now, we all know the importance of shade, right? How many of you all have ever been out on a hot day? You've been hot and you've been looking for a tree to get under. How many of y'all have ever experienced that? It's hot, you need some shade. Well, I did some research on some shade, on the temperature, and how much shade affects. And back in 2010 in Iowa, there was a county fair, and there's some 4-H students. And they did this little experiment. And they had this electronic temperature reading. And they went to different places, and they were to get the temperature of different points of the heat. And the one that had the largest difference was they tested a picnic table that was directly in the sun. How many of y'all have ever, you went in like those metal picnic tables and that doesn't have the heat-resistant kind of stuff on it, and you put your arm down on something and it's like, ah, right? You know, it's kind of like the old school slides we used to have. How many of y'all remember when you had to be tough to go down a slide? I mean, we growing up weak kids today. I mean, they don't know what it's like to go down one of those metal slides. You're like, whoo! You know, you're trying to avoid putting your leg on there because that sun baked on there. And they always put it in that in the heat, right? I mean, it's like glare. It just would shine out, blind you too if you looked at it. That was a real slide, you know, anyway. So they tested the picnic table that was in the heat, and they tested the shaded area of it. Okay, the tabletop on the part of the table that was directly in the sun was 144 degrees. In the shade, it was only 89 degrees. That's a 55 degree difference. That's huge, isn't it? That did other shade temperature variances. There was a 14 degree difference on a lawn. So, like, if you're just out on the grass and the beating down the sun. You get it underneath a shade tree. There's a 14-degree difference. And then they also did a parking lot. Like, you know, if you're out in the parking lot and the sun's beating down, it was a 35-degree difference between the parking lot and the shade. And so when you are hot and you are like, whew, and you go find a shade, you're being very wise, right? There's a reason why we do that. There is a difference between being out in the heat with no shade and finding shade. And so Jesus says that the kingdom of God could be compared to something like a little mustard seed that gets sown into the earth. And when it grows up, though it's the smallest of all seeds, it grows to be a large tree. The kingdom of God grows. How many of y'all realize that? It started very small. Jesus came. He stepped out of heaven, the God-man, 100% man, 100% God, 100% of the time. And he walked this life, lived a sinless life, died on a cross, rose again. Started out very small. There was the upper room. The disciples were up in the upper room. The Holy Spirit filled them, empowered them. And then their declaration of Acts 1:8 said, "And you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the outermost parts of the world." And after Acts 2 on, we see that the church begins to grow, and it grows, and it grows, and it grows, and it grows, and it becomes a large tree with large branches so that all kinds of birds from the air, from different tribes, different nationalities, all kinds of different races, they come to nest in and rest in the shade of this tree. That's the proclamation of the gospel. The gospel is this tree that provides the saving shade for people who are beaten down by the heat of life. You see that? We are in the shade. We nestle in the shade, and Jesus protects us, and he comforts us, and he takes us out of the heat of life. Now, here's what can happen. We can just get so comfortable in the shade, and we can rejoice that we're in the shade, because when I'm in the shade, I feel much better, don't you? Yay for me, I found the shade. You find your own shade tree. This is my shade. You know, you go find your own place to. Let me ask you this question. How many of you are inviting other people into the shade? You see, because here's what we can do. We can get so comfortable being in the shade that we forget how hot it was. We can get so comfortable in the shade that we can start talking to one another in the shade. We can be a bunch of birds in this tree and we're just squawking to one another, right? We can start talking about the leaves in the tree. We can start talking about the branches in the tree. We can have small groups together in the tree. And if we're not careful, we will stay in the tree. And we will never go out and say, "Hey, all of you other folks who are out there beaten down by the heat of life, that you are struggling and that you are trying to live your life just through your own power and will. There is a better way. There is a man by the name of Jesus who is Savior of the world, and he can take away your sin, and he can connect you with the God who made you and knows you, and you can enter into his rest, into his shade." How many people this week did you invite into the shade? How many people are you praying for that you know is out there in the heat, scorched heat of life, where sin is beating down on them to 144 degrees, and man, they're toasting, and they need the saving shade of God's proclamation of the gospel? Will you be somebody that invites them? Because I don't want to be somebody that's just up there in that tree chilling out. Because I can get comfortable, can't you? I mean, I could put a hammock under the shade. I could pour me a lemonade. I could even get daring and do half and half. I could do half tea and half lemonade and have me an Arnold Palmer. And I can drink that, and I can just sit there and be, "Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that I'm saved. And I'm resting in the shade," and forget the other people who needs to come under. If you're not praying for people that you know need Christ, you need to start your list like today. Start saying, Lord, this person, they need you, Jesus. They're out there trying to live life on their own, and they're out there dying of thirst and heat. They're going to get heat exhaustion. They're going to die of a heat stroke. And I hope y'all realize I'm speaking metaphorically here. And they're about to die, and if they don't get under your shade, they have no hope. They need you, Jesus. How many of you all will begin praying for people to come into the shade, because Jesus provides a great saving shade. And in this saving shade, there is great protection. And this is where the blessing of God's favor comes on the lives of believers. So let's go back to Psalm 121. Psalm 121. Because we know that it's good under the shade, we should be inviting other people to come into the shade. Amen? Huh? We don't want to just take it all for ourselves. But we do enjoy the blessings of being in the shade. And so in Psalm 121, we read these words. It says that I will lift my eyes up to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Now, we're not sure really the context of why this psalm was written. Many commentators believe that it was a journeyman's psalm. It was a pilgrim psalm. And as they were making their journey or trip to Jerusalem during the feast, they would be walking up to Jerusalem, because Jerusalem's on a hill, and they would see the mountains, and they would look up towards the mountains. Now, it wasn't the mountains that their help was from. It was in Jerusalem where the temple was, where God's presence was. They were looking beyond the mountains to the temple to say, I look up into the mountains because I'm headed towards God's presence. And where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, who was the maker of heaven and earth. You see, the pagan deities, they had false pagan gods on the mountains, and they worshiped false gods on the mountains. But to the Christian, to the follower of God, we don't look to the mountains and worship the mountains. We don't worship nature. We don't worship the trees. We worship the God who made the mountains. It's important to know in life where to look when you need help. So we know two things here. We know that in this life, we're going to need help. These preachers that preach that if long as you follow Jesus, man, everything's going to be wonderful. Everything's going to be great. You're not going to ever have any problems. You're not ever going to face any trials. I mean, if you would just love God and follow his ways, everything's going to be so easy. They lie to you. That's not true. Life is difficult. Life is hard. Life has its problems. We are going to need help in this life. Amen? There are times when I need help, and when I need help, it's important to know where to look. I'm glad I don't have to look to Google for my help. I'm glad I don't have to ask Siri for my help. I'm glad I don't have to depend on someone, that I can look up into the heavens, because I'm looking to the Lord, who is the maker of heaven and earth. He is my help. He is my strength. When I'm down and I'm out and I'm depressed and I'm stressed and I'm bogged down with the worries of the world, where do I go? I look up to the Lord for my strength. When I have anxiety, where do I look? I look to the Lord. I look to him, because he is where my help comes from. Look at verse 3 and 4. It says, he will not allow your foot to slip, but he who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither sleep nor slumber. As the pilgrims were walking, you know, in the dusty roads and the rocky trails, you know, wasn't firm. You know, they didn't have Nike Air Jordans. They would wear their sandals, and many of them probably had to go barefooted. And it's a long walk, and it's a hard walk. And your footing isn't always stable. But the psalmist says, when I'm walking towards God and I'm in relationship with him, he puts me on a firm foundation. He won't let me slip. Won't let me fall. Because he doesn't sleep and he doesn't slumber, but his eyes are always watching me because he cares for me. Alexander the Great, he was asked during one of a raging battle, he'd go into his tent and he'd sleep. And one of the officers asked him and said, "How in the world can you sleep knowing that the battle is all around us and that we could be killed or someone could try to sneak in and attack you?" And he replied that Parmenio, his faithful guard, was watching. Because he had a faithful guard watching, he could sleep. If Alexander the Great can rest well in the midst of chaos because of a human faithful guard watching him, how much more should the child of God be able to rest in the midst of a storm, knowing that the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, has his eye on you and he's watching you and he will protect you? Verse 5, "The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand, and the sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night." There's that saving shade that we're talking about. The Lord is your keeper. He is the one who keeps you. He is the one who protects you. He is the one that guards over you. He is your shade in the day and protection at night. Have you experienced his shade? You've seen people they've walked through all kinds of craziness in their life and you're wondering, how in the world did they make it through? By the grace of God. Have you ever experienced a moment in your life where it seems like if you were evaluating your life, you think, "Man, I should be giving up. I should have no hope. But you have a sense of peace. You have a sense of strength. And you're like, where does this come from? It comes from the Lord. It's his shade of protection. That when life beats you down and the heat intensifies and it seems like things are coming at you, you can rest in the shade of the Almighty God. Isn't that good news? Isn't that wonderful? Isn't this such wonderful shade that we want to proclaim that and tell other people, "Hey man, you need to come into God's shade because it is amazing." Praise unto the Lord, amen. How many of you all have experienced his saving shade? His protection, his care for you. Verse 7, it says, "The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul." The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. We read this and we think, "Man, this is wonderful." And then we have the news this weekend that we received, and then we begin to question and we wonder, "Well, where was God during that accident?" If God's going to guard our goings and comings and all this stuff, then why did that happen? Well, he guards our very soul. Important. God's protection over us doesn't mean that we will never suffer. It doesn't mean that we will not have tragedy in our life. It doesn't mean that we will not have persecution come our way. But what it does mean is that if we discover tragedy in our life and if we experience pain or trauma or devastation and all of that, he will never leave us nor forsake us. And no matter what happens to us, it cannot take our connection away from God. He will never abandon his children. And at the worst thing that can happen to us, if our life is taken away, our soul is with the mighty maker of heaven and earth, our God, our deliverer, forever and ever and ever. So no matter what happens, I am kept by God. That's why it's so important that you have a true relationship with the Lord Jesus. Because when you know God and you've experienced His grace and you've encountered Him in a living way, there is nothing that can come your way that will keep you out of the hands of the protection of the Almighty God. Paul said it in Romans 8:35 this way. He says, "Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written," he says, "for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered a sheep to be slaughtered. And all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. For I am convinced," Paul says, "that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing, including you, will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." He says, "I'm convinced that nothing that I go through, no hell that I walk through, no trouble that I see, will separate me from God's love." Isn't that amazing? You think, well, yeah, that's the Apostle Paul. He's writing Scripture. That sounds great. He must have had special divine protection. I mean, it's one thing for an apostle to write something like that. He must be in his ivory glass tower, never experiencing any of this stuff, and just giving us these good Bible verses to quote to make us feel good. Well, you don't know the story of Paul then, if that's your thinking. Because here's what happened to Paul. Remember, Paul, a faithful follower and lover devoted to Jesus, who was called by God to do His will, this is what happened to him. Okay, so the Christian life isn't the easy life. He says, "Five times I've received from the Jews 39 lashes." Five times, 39 lashes. It was thought at 40 was the limit that it would kill most people by the 40th lash. So five times he was almost put to death. Three times, he says, "I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and day I spent in the deep. I've been on frequent journeys and dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers from false brethren. I've been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Apart from all such external things, there is the daily pressure of me of concern for all the churches." But Paul also said this. He said, "I have come to the point, I know what it's like to have, I know what it's like to be in want, but I have learned to be content in all circumstances." Why? Because he knew the God who held him. And even in the midst of persecution, suffering, hunger, and all of that, he experienced the shade of the Almighty God. How do you get through something like that? Apart from being kept by God. And you think you had a bad day. Well, somebody said something bad about me on Facebook. Well, let's see here. Five times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. Which one you want? Let's put some things in perspective. Now, some of you are going through some hard stuff. And your temptation is to look everywhere else but unto the Lord for your help. Many times we try to figure things out on our own, don't we? We try to do it on our own strength and our own power. Can I tell you? Your help comes from the Lord. Some of you think, well, if I'm going through hardships, God must not love me. Not true. Some people think that if something bad happens, then I must have done something wrong. No, not true. Not necessarily true. If you're going through chaos, where does your help come from? My help comes from the Lord. We're walking with God, and this walk isn't promised to be an easy walk, but it is a walk of protection. It's a walk of His saving shade. It's a walk where we can have a genuine relationship with Him. A commentator I read, he described the Christian life, and I want to read this to you. He says this: the Christian life is not a quiet escape to a garden where we can walk and talk uninterruptedly with our Lord, nor a fantasy trip to a heavenly city where we can compare blue ribbons and gold medals with others who've made it to the winner's circle. The Christian life is going to God. The Christian life is going to God. In going to God, Christians travel the same ground that everyone else walks on. We breathe the same air. We drink the same water. We shop in the same stores. We read the same newspapers. We're citizens under the same governments. We pay the same prices for groceries and gasoline. We fear the same dangers. We're subject to the same pressures. We get the same distress. And we're buried in the same ground. The difference is that in each step we walk, each breath we breathe, we know we are preserved by God. We know that we are accompanied by God. We know that we are ruled by God. And therefore, no matter what doubts we endure, what accidents we experience, the Lord preserves us from evil, and He will keep our life. Isn't that good? And in the book of Jude, he closes and he says, to Him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before His glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Jesus, He is our saving shade. He's our protection. He is truly the author and the finisher of our faith. Man, who wouldn't run to this tree of life and nest under the shade of the cross and resurrection of Jesus? Who wouldn't, who's experienced His saving shade, go out and tell somebody else, hey, man, you need to come under this tree. You need to come to Jesus because He makes all the difference in the world. So, for all of us, for all of you who do Facebook, for all of us who do Twitter, I've got this. I want to encourage you to put it out there. Let's see how many people we can touch with this statement. Jesus is my saving shade in the midst of a heated world. Jesus is my saving shade in the midst of a heated world. Isn't that true? Man, life gets hot, don't it? It gets tough. Man, there's trials. There's heartaches. There's pain. There's suffering. But there is a joy that only comes from the Lord. And He has guaranteed that if you're His children, He will protect you from now and forevermore. And He will take you home. Man, that's saving shade. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You today that we can come and And Lord, for those of us who know you, God, we are so thankful for your protection, for your love, for your grace, that there is grace in the shade and that there is your mercy. And for those of us who have experienced that, Lord, may we just give you praise today. May we glorify you today. May we thank you, Lord. Lord, if there's a man or there's a woman here today, they've never experienced your mercy. They've never experienced a true life with you. And they're still out there getting beat down in the heat of the day. And they don't have a relationship with you. Lord, we're asking that they would run today to the altar and say, I want to rest in the shade. I'm done with this world. I want to rest in the grace of God. Would they come? Lord, speak to their hearts. Open up their eyes so they may see. Father, burden our hearts with folks that we know that are out there in the world trying to live life in their own power and strength. And Lord, give us the boldness to be a witness for them and invite them to come to the saving shade of Jesus. Lord, what are you doing in our hearts today, right now? Speak to us. May we be obedient and may we respond appropriately to how you're leading us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and let's sing and let's respond and let's pray. You need to come this morning. Come. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's come to the shade. Need to pray for boldness. When the church was under persecution, right there at the very beginning of Acts, they came together. When Peter was being arrested, when the disciples were being thrown in jail, what did they pray for? Boldness. Lord, may your Holy Spirit fall upon us, and may you give us the boldness we need to proclaim your word. Boldness to live our lives before God. I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. That's what we sing. That's what we say. No turning back. I'm telling you, there's a war that rages around us. And we come in this worship time, and this is kind of like our ark. This is a moment where we can come in, and there's safety here. We're among other brothers and sisters in Christ, and we get to worship our God and King. And this ought to be a time that draws us closer into His presence. Because we're about to go out these doors, and we go out these doors, we go into the valley. We go into struggles. We go into hardships. We go into work on Monday, right? Thank the Lord you get a short week this week, right? We get a holiday. Be thankful. But you've got news around you, family members in your life that are struggling. And man, there's all kinds of stuff going on. But I'm telling you, we've got great news that there is the saving shade of Jesus that protects us and covers us. And may we never forget to give Him the praise and the glory and the honor that He deserves. I'm going to live for Jesus this week and honor Him. What about you? Let's lift Him up. Let's be there for those who are hurting. Let's draw them to the tree and say, hey, there is shade here. There is the grace of the Lord. Lift somebody up. Encourage someone. Would you let them know that Jesus is the saving shade from the heat of this world? Because there's people out there being beat down. And they're about to die spiritually. Would you be the one to speak to them? How many of y'all can say, I'm glad that I know Christ as Lord? Anybody? He's been good, isn't he? How many of y'all can say this? I don't know why I'm rambling. I just feel like I need to. How many of y'all can say, boy, he's been so much better to me than I've been to him? I failed him. I've let him down. But he's never failed me. We need to thank him. Amen. Praise unto the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One more time. Hallelujah. Let's lift up our praise unto him. We're going to go and invite people to who? We're going to love people where they are so they'll connect to who? We're going to gather to worship, learn, and celebrate with one another. Let's read our verse of scripture. Let's be dismissed. You ready? May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.